Section by section through the book of Acts. We've been doing it. Actually looked this week. We've been doing it. We started the book of Acts May 17th or 24th or something of last year. And then we took like this long break and we discussed the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that means. And then we dove back into the book of Acts. And so we're taking our time going through it. And the idea is this, that the book of Acts is the description, it's the account of the birth and growth of the New Testament church, which we are supposed to be. And so the idea is, as we read through this, we become the New Testament church again. Never have stopped, but we kind of veered off course a little bit. And the things that we see taking place in the book of Acts, except for the stoning that we're going to read about, that part we don't really want back, but the rest of it we want. I've been hit by a lot of baseballs in my life. I played a lot of baseball, coached a lot of baseball, spent some time in the hospital because of baseball as a young person, and for real got hit in the eye when I was 12 with a baseball. And my eye started bleeding. Did you know your eye could bleed? Been 2 or 3 days in the hospital, missed all of All-Stars because I couldn't use my eye anymore. Missed my chance to go to the professional baseball. Terrible. But God had a plan. All right, Acts chapter 14. And so that's why we're going through this, is because we want to be the New Testament church. I believe God has a plan and a purpose. I believe you are here for a reason. For a reason. So Acts 14, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, the same thing happened in Iconium, referring to chapter 13 and referring to the way that Paul presented and who he went to first and a lot of maybe what he said or how he said it. So the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time. So despite the uprising, they stayed a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, to the towns of Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area. And there, they preached the good news. So if you're a note taker like you should be, the title of the message today is Sticks and Stones. Point number one is power in the blood. So what we have in these first six verses is kind of a summary, a real quick summary of what is taking place in this city, because it's very similar to what we just read in the previous chapter. And then later in this chapter, in the next few verses, we're going to go into some detail about the next city. And so there's kind of a summary, and part of that is because it's similar to what's already taken place. And so they go into Iconium. They speak like they did. They go to the synagogue. They speak to the Jews and the Gentiles. Gentiles, anybody that's not Jewish, like us, most of us here. And they begin to share. And just like has happened in the previous cities, it says a large number come to believe in the Lord. And then a little bit of an uprising begins. Why did the unbelieving Jews care? Why do they care? Why do we care what church you go to? Because we like you. We want you to stick around. In this case, they care because before Jesus, everybody had to come to the priest to bring their sacrifices. They had to come to the priest for their atonement, if you will, so that the sacrifices could be made, whether it's your doves or your sheep or your cows. And so everything had to go to them or through them. And so the pastor, if you will, was a person of position, of great authority, a lot of influence many times, and politically they had influence. And people that have influence don't like to lose influence. People with power don't like to lose power. Now, we all influence people around us. And so how do we lose that opportunity? It's an opportunity. In this case, the Jewish leaders, they're not using it correctly, but we are all influencing people around us. Influencing them to grow closer to the Lord, influencing them to move away from the Lord. Hopefully we're not doing that, but it happens. So the biggest downfall with people of people with influence is often lack of humility and willingness to listen. I know. Therefore, I should speak and you should listen. That's the attitude. That's the mindset sometimes. So they get so focused on their own ideas or their own perspectives that they can't see things from another viewpoint. And they miss opportunities. We've talked about our seating a few times in here, and I stand here, and I look, and I go, man, there should be something different we can do. But I just couldn't think of it. And then somebody came and said, I have an idea. I said, tell me your idea. And they said, what if we do this? And I said, let's try it. And you walked in, and you go, this is amazing. Our church looks so much bigger. And we actually fit more chairs. It's more comfortable. It's way cooler, because that's important. And so when we don't have humility, when we can't hear other ideas, it limits our growth and our potential. We end up misinterpreting, misunderstanding. We communicate ineffectively because we can't connect with the people around us. So these guys, these Jewish leaders, they wouldn't listen to anything, but got angry because they were losing influence. Because now they're being told, you don't need to come and make sacrifices. The sacrifice has been made. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Your sins are forgiven. God wants to redeem you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free from bondage. There's power in the blood. But the Jewish leaders, they don't want to hear this because now all of their influence is slipping away. Verse 3 says, the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. So even in the midst of the tension, they continued to preach boldly. Now, boldly, in my mind, when I read, man, they were bold. They were forceful. They were loud. That is not what boldly means. In this context, what boldly means, it means they spoke from fearlessness and courage. It means even though they had already experienced this in the previous town where they got run out, they were still fearless and preached the truth. They took courage and trusted in the Lord and continued to preach the truth, even though they know the potential of what's going to happen. And we're not going to get to it today. It'll be next week. So you should come back. But Paul is going to get stoned and killed. It's a good day. And so despite knowing the potential of what's coming, they are bold. They are courageous. They are fearless. They say it as it is. Not worried about the consequences. The result? God proved their message true through signs and wonders. Power in the blood. When we throw off the things that hinder, when we allow the Spirit of the Lord to be alive and at work in us, God begins to do things. Even in a world where to follow Christ is contrary to what our culture wants us to be doing, behaving, accepting, approving. It's a crazy world out there. And when we can be fearless, we can be courageous, when we can trust in the Lord to do a work, He will show up. When we come into this place expecting God to meet us, He is going to meet that expectation. He wants us to have an encounter with Him. He doesn't want this relationship with Christ. He doesn't want Christianity to be this story that we talk about, but He wants it to be a life that we experience. And He's going to show up. You know, God does so many things and we don't even realize it. I was going through our finances for the church, because that's a fun thing to do. Actually, it can be a fun thing to do. And in the first quarter, because you are faithful, we brought in about $4,800 more than expenses, more than projected expenses, more than expenses. That's a good quarter. We have this beautiful new concrete out here. This is our new foyer outside. That's the plan eventually anyway. Have an outdoor foyer. So we didn't take an offering. We didn't ask for any money. The new foyer, the sidewalk, cost us $4,300. Because God sees our need. He sees the vision. And He says, here you go. I'm going to take care of that ahead of time. And here's a little bonus so you can buy ice cream. Because He wants to be at work in and around us. He wants us to see. He pays attention to the little things. Paul and Barnabas, they continue to stir things up in the city. And so they leave the city. Because they're scared? No. Because they know that God has called them to go to the Gentiles. They know that they are on an extended missions trip, essentially, and that there's more cities that need the gospel. So they say, let's just keep rolling. Let's go to the next city. So they go to Lystra and Derbe. And at this point, we get a more detailed picture of what was taking place. So verse 8 says, while they were in Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth. So he had never walked. He was sitting and listening to Paul preach, looking straight at him. Paul realized he had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, "Stand up!" That's my loud voice. And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. So number two, by faith. So Paul's preaching, and he begins to notice something is taking place in this man, in his life. And the Bible uses repetition to get a point across to us. Mostly because we tend to be a little slow on the uptake. You want me to do what, Lord? I don't really like that person. So he uses repetition. It says, the man was crippled. In case you haven't got it yet, it says, he had been crippled since birth. So he didn't just roll his ankle. And he keeps going and says, in case you still don't get the situation, he's never walked. If you've never walked, how do you know how to walk? I mean, we have toddlers all over this place. They crawl. It's part of their development. There's all kinds of good reasons to crawl. Not now because it hurts, but when you're little, it's good. And then pretty soon they hold the edge of the couch and they kind of wobble. And then eventually they take a step and another step. And mom and dad cheer, they're walking, until they realize, oh, now we got to baby-proof the house. So this guy never walked, crippled since birth. You get the picture? And he's listening to Paul. Paul looks straight at him and realizes he has faith to be healed. So here's a sub point. Pay attention. Keep your eyes open. Especially if you're leading. If you're teaching. I knew a guy one time, he would preach with his eyes closed. I'm like, what are you doing, man? You are going to fall off the platform. How do you know what's happening? I pray with my eyes open a lot of the time. I used to get given a hard time about it. And so I would just say, show me where it says I have to pray with my eyes closed and I'll start. And then the teens would take opportunity because they knew what I did, because they don't close their eyes either. Not for spiritual reasons, though. And they would wait for me to start praying. And then they would start picking their nose and they would start making faces and trying to distract me in the middle of my prayers. Talk about a great training ground to stay focused. Paul sees what is happening. So when you're leading, if you're praying, if you're teaching, if you're leading worship, man, when we close our eyes, we stop seeing what's happening. You might be ready for point three, and I need to keep rolling because you smell the chicken. You might be in it and saying, give me more, and I can keep rolling. But if I can't see what is happening, I can't read the room and follow where the Holy Spirit is leading. As we're worshiping this morning, and I see you, and you are engaged, and the presence of the Lord is here, man, it's time for an altar call. And then Steve and I do sign language. Altar call happening. Ready, go. We don't plan anything. All the stuff he said fits right in with what I'm talking about. We're on the same page because it's the same Holy Spirit. This thing keeps pulling my hair and it hurts. So it must be time for a haircut. So anyway, that's just my sub point. That's my little, keep your eyes open. Pay attention. We're not told what Paul sees, but he sees something while he's preaching. More than likely, it's something that happens in here. He sees maybe something as this man is paying attention, just like you guys do every week. So thankful for that. And he feels this building in the spirit. We were pastoring a church in Northeast Washington one time, and there's a lady sitting right here on the front row, and about the same size sanctuary, and I'm preaching, and she had had something happen to her foot, and she couldn't put any weight on it. She was in all kinds of pain, and I'm preaching. And we had already done everything like we've done today and had altar call and prayer, and I knew she was hurt. And as I'm preaching, I begin to feel like, man, God's going to heal her. And I keep preaching, and it comes again. He's going to heal her. He's healing her. So finally I stopped and I go, hey, God's healing you right now. And the problems with your foot are going to go away. By the end of the service, then I went back to preaching. By the end of the service, she's like, the pain is diminished. I can put weight on my foot. She already had a doctor's appointment for the next day. She went to the doctor and he's like, I don't know what happened or why your foot is getting better so fast, but you're fine. And it's that kind of experience that Paul was having as the Holy Spirit is moving through him, as God is using signs and wonders to confirm with the people what God is doing. And so he says, stand up. And by faith, that guy stands up. Lame from birth, crippled from birth, never stood before. It says he stood up. In fact, it actually says, the man, verse 10, and the man jumped to his feet and started walking. Most of us can't even do that. He jumped to his feet and started walking. Sometimes in the midst of life, I just need to stand up by faith. I just need to stand up. I don't have to jump up even. Just stand up. Okay, God. I know you've got this. One foot in front of the other, just like that little toddler, and I'm going to walk by faith, knowing that you are in the midst of all of my life, and you want to walk with me through these things. God, I need you to move in this area of my life. Lord, I need to give you to give me wisdom in this area of my life. And by faith, I stand up, and I begin to move into the things that God has called me to. Doors open and doors close. And it hurts. I got some great rejection this week. And it stung a little bit. And I had to pause and reflect and go, I'm kind of prideful. I kind of think I'm all that. I mean, I'm pretty great. But stay with me. Come on. I'm not prideful. I mean, I'm a little prideful. I'm confident, okay? I'm very confident in what God is doing and who God has built me to be. And because God wants to work through us, not just me, but you as well. And we have to grow. And sometimes we just need a little bit of a slow down. And sometimes we need a little bit of a let's go. And a little bit of small slices of humble pie are good. Whole pie, not so healthy. In this situation, Paul and Barnabas, they don't go to a synagogue. Maybe there is no synagogue. We're not told. It's a pagan city. This wasn't a man that had the scriptures memorized. This man wasn't a man who had lived a perfect life. This was a guy that was experiencing the presence of the Lord and instinctively knew in his spirit that God wanted to do something great in his life. God wants to do something great in your life. But we resist because we want to hold on and we want to have control. Stand up by faith. God wants to be a part of your life. Verse 11, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in their local dialect, these men are gods in human form. They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus and that Paul was Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Now, the temple of Zeus was located just outside of town. So the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates and prepare to offer sacrifices to the apostles. These bulls are expensive. This is top quality beef. This is an elaborate sacrifice that they're preparing to make. Verse 14, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard what was happening, they tore their clothing in dismay and ran out among the people shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We have come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. In the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. But he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts. But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them." So number three, remain faithful. When the people see what happened, they jump up as well. They're excited. They've watched this guy. Likely, Paul had been preaching in Greek. Says they begin to speak in their own languages. So Paul and Barnabas probably don't have an idea what they're talking about at first. And then all of a sudden, as they watch the commotion and begin to see what's happening, they realize, oh, they're making, we are the gods. They are sacrificing to us. And when they figure that out and realize it, they try to put a stop to it. It is so easy to get distracted by the world. It is so easy to get distracted by fear and by worry, by doubt. Does God have a plan for me? He does. I have a plan for me too. That got shut down. No Major League Baseball. God's got a plan. We get distracted. There's so much going on around us. There's so many things pulling at us and demanding our time, our energy. Maybe we're here Sunday. Maybe we come and pray on Monday. Maybe we enjoy Taco Tuesday and a little Bible study. Then the next few days, we wander off and just kind of do whatever. We need to remain faithful. Not just when we're here in the moment, if you will, but day in and day out. Seeking after him, allowing him to do things in our lives. Verse 15, Paul says, "Friends, why are you doing this? There is something so much better. Turn away from these things." You know, this is a pagan community, and he's trying to get them to turn away from their ways and see. They just witnessed a tremendous miracle take place. And then all of our minds wander off to, well, it's been a while since I've seen that happen. Has it? He says here, verse 17, he never left them without evidence of his goodness. He sends you rain. We couldn't park on the other side of the river of life this week because he sent rain yesterday. It's like God knew what I was going to preach about. And we go, ah, the stupid rain. Now we can't park on the other side because all the cars will get stuck. Because it's just like slime over there. Man, that rain is producing crops. Those crops are feeding those cows. Those cows give us milk. They give us beef. Beef is your friend. Especially when you add bacon. It's a match made in heaven. But we go, the rain. I washed my car. Every time this last week and a half I've washed my car, it's rained. So when you want rain, text me. I'll go wash the car. And it's so easy in our minds. I don't know. I'm going to blame social media, TV, media in general, whether it's Facebook and all the social media or television and commercials. Everything, we just go negative so quick. Maybe it's just me. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. The glass is here. If you put water in it, it's half full. If you just drank half of it, it's half empty. You don't agree? If we're out for coffee, it should never go empty. If you have a good waitress or waiter. He never leaves us without evidence of his goodness. Sometimes we're so focused on this great opportunity that we feel like God should have for us. You fill in the blank, whatever that opportunity looks like in your life. And we're so focused on this thing that I should have or that I want or that I feel like should be a part of my life that we miss all the other stuff God is doing in and around us. And we get so frustrated, and that turns into discouragement. And that turns into fear. And then we get a little snippy with the people around us. We get a little prideful. We begin to misread situations. One of my kids was texting me yesterday because Megan and the girls are in Oregon. Pray they get back safely to the U.S. To Idaho. Sorry. That slipped. And so one of the girls is texting me. They told me there was going to be all this food, and I didn't get hardly any food. I'm like, well. And I gave a short, like, one or two word answer, and then they texted back, "You're in a bad mood." They're like, "You're not even in the same state. I'm helping your brother make chocolate chip cookies." Like, a little misread on the situation. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm making chocolate chip cookies. Like, life is good. He cares about my needs, even when the ladies are gone. You're in a bad mood. I'm gonna be. But sometimes we want to be part of the great miracle. The lame man walked. He stood up. He jumped up. He walked around, never having walked before in his life. He gives us a joyful heart. When we live a thankful life, we can have a joyful heart. Thank you for the rain. Thank you for these amazing people. Thank you for casseroles and fried chicken. Thank you for paper plates so we don't have to do dishes. Sometimes it's easier to see what we don't have than it is to count the blessing for what we do have. And we have to shift our mindset. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being at work in my life. Pastor Steve, could you come back. We're going to move towards communion. Does everybody have one of these little gadgets?